this bitch on? I like this little setup. A little lean back in my chair.
All right, you comfortable?
Probably be on my stomach.
You comfortable? You ready?
Is this AC going to cut off?
Yo, Gamora, what's up?
Please. Gamora?
Hey, I like the color green. Was she the one from Avatar?
I don't know. Hold on.
I don't want to. I mean, she was blue. I don't want to get out of line here, IMDb. But the person was blue. No, it's not the same girl.
Okay.
I can tell you it's not the same girl.
Okay, cool. I'm not arguing with nobody, fam. You need to chill.
No, I think.
Relax. Relax.
But, that was good.
Dang, she's fucking 40 years old?
For real. Oh, you know who she is?
She's born in 1978.
Wait, what
dang,
year?
She Dominican.
That was a good year.
She Dominican and Puerto Rican, fam. Wait, why is it saying she's in Avatar 2, 3, 4, and 5?
So maybe it is her.
They're filming all the sequels. That's kind of mindless. Yep, she was in Avatar, fam.
That's the... I would have never guessed that's the same person.
But right here, it has Avatar 2 slated for 2020, 3, 2021, 4, 2024, and 5, 2025.
Is it still... James Cameron?
I don't know.
It's got to be. That's his shit.
I'm just kind of blown away that they're still... Why are you bringing it back? Did people really like Avatar that much for that to come back?
It
broke records, but okay. How... Okay, here's my... We're going to save it for the podcast.
We're on right now.
Okay. So, that being said then, when you have conversations with anybody about, what's your favorite movie? Yeah. Whoever says, yo, you know what movie was amazing? Avatar.
It was good.
Whoever says that. Whoever brings up Avatar is one of the best movies they've ever seen.
The problem is it's all relative. For its time, like that year, Avatar was the dopest movie out. At least probably for 2 years.
It was cool.
But then
time out. Even walking out of the Avatar at that time, you said, yo, it was better, Greg. Star Wars? The first Star Wars you saw or Avatar? I'd have been like, well, Star Wars, fam.
Star Wars got all that history.
What's better, Greg? Pee-wee's Big Adventure? Or Avatar?
Avatar.
Pete, what? Are you? You're nah. Fucking crazy.
Marge ain't do nothing for me.
What? Fuck.
Nope.
What about Francis?
Bro, the fat.
Yeah, that stole the bike?
Nah, I didn't like him.
Come on, bro.
No.
You really don't like Pee-wee's Big Adventure? I'm trying to think. That's one of the greatest movies ever. That's a top 100 movie.
I'm trying to think why I don't like that kid. He was in...
Well, he's annoying, obviously.
Was he in Back to the Future? No.
No, that's... You're talking about
I ain't talking about Biff.
Biff?
No, he Boff. Was in something else where I really didn't like him. I don't know.
Well, I don't know if I like your...
It's a kid thing.
I don't know if I like your negative attitude.
Avatar
today.
Was dope.
Podcast crazy. Is over. episode 10.
We got Wakers?
Grand opening, grand closing.
Oh, man.
Avatar. George wanted me to look up Zoe Saldana for him. Because he's dirty like that.
We already talked about that.
No, I didn't say that.
She's good.
That get me in trouble.
No, she is good. Like, that's... So that was the...
It says she was in Avatar. And she's going to be in Avatar 2, 3, 4, and 5. Wow. Are you pre-ordering your tickets for Avatar? Because it was so good when you first saw it.
I did.
When you were 17.
I pre-ordered for the next 5.
I bet you did.
I did.
You pre-ordered for Avatar 6. It's not even slated for production.
Yep. Fandango.
That's what I like about you.
Fandango. I love it.
Well, George, episode 10.
Episode 10. We're on a roll here.
Many men.
Let me tell you right.
Wish death upon me. Blood in my eye, dog, and I can't see. I'm trying to be what I'm destined to be.
I don't like that you know
but
lyrics.
Trying to take my life away. Many men. That's my favorite song off that album.
Is it really?
I used to wear. Bro, I used to be bench pressing to that song. Mm. Wish death upon me.
You whisper it.
Blood in my. Hey, dog.
Yo, get my spot.
Many men.
Get my spot.
You got my spot. Many men got my spot, George.
So keeping this train moving. We got a samba latte roast today.
We did. We stopped, I did a very bad job of being prepared for this week's podcast in terms of what coffee we were going to review.
Well, that's because it's almost a hardware episode.
It is a hardware episode, but I guess what good is the hardware without the software, right?
We got to come up with a name for it. Not we can't call it, yo, this is a hardware episode. We say like product review. We're going to call it, a coffee. Oh, we got to come up with something. Something like exciting. Coffee something. Mm. Coffee talkie review or something.
Yeah, that sounds dumb.
We're going to come up with something, and it's going to be like, because it's not even. It's not Listen, a big Tuesday, so we can't call
top. You're putting our top seven listeners to sleep right now on this pondering.
Hey, let me tell you right now. We're talking about, because we looked at some stats. Y'all are out there listening, downloading. We're blowing up.
Yeah, listen. Light skin.
Light skin's coming back.
It's back in style. Back Jamie Foxx. Jamie Foxx tried to stomp us out. Those light skins.
He's
like a medium skin.
Yeah.
He was hating on that light skin for a while.
He got a lot darker for...
he liked Charlemagne.
Django. He got a little tan.
He got a little like 2 month tanning pass for Django.
That is a great movie.
Maybe you got the spray on.
I do like Star Wars more than that movie.
Like when you go into the spray on, you know, what do you want? You know, like let me get that. I want that like Colombian brown, or you want that slave black?
I would love Black Zach. Give me that Black Zach. Hey, so I would love to meet the black dude that goes to spray tan, or girl. They go spray. So yo,
that's not a bodybuilder.
Hit me with that shade.
That's not a bodybuilder.
Right.
Because the light skin folks got to get that.
They still do.
Try to get that Ronnie Coleman tan.
Yeah, they put like bronzer and just probably for glare too. I would imagine being on stage. Or do they want that?
Well, you do want that shine. Yeah. You do want that shine because it's gonna give you that definition between the peaks and the valleys on your muscles.
I knew that. I was testing.
Of course you did.
I do it every morning.
I mean, that's what you used to do when you competed, right?
Dog every day. I stay swole.
Every day, what? You competed or you got a spray tan?
Both. Every morning when I wake up.
Damn.
I knock out my 3 push-ups.
Jump in the spray tanner?
Jump in the spray tanner. It's on.
I love it. I love that routine.
So this week, like you said, we got some Samba Latte and we have a hardware review. Last week, if you listened to episode 9, you know that we purchased an American Press from Waywood Studios. And
Waywood. If you're from New York or if you're a toddler, you would probably say Waywood.
Uh-oh.
But it's Wayward.
It's Wayward.
My bad. Wayward. W-A-R-D.
So I've been saying it wrong this whole time. Wayward Studios. If you're from Vegas area, you would remember Westwood Studios.
So
probably was throwing me off.
True. I can see that.
So Wayward Studios put this product out. This almost seems like it could have been a Kickstarter at one point and then missed the boat. And then
True.
It just went, we missed the Kickstarter process and went straight to production. So,
and yeah, maybe they already had the financial backing and, you know, and all that good stuff.
So would we podcast last week on Friday? I think it was a Friday.
It was a Friday, yeah.
So sat down, we had it in the notes to talk about. We ordered Friday. This arrived on Monday.
Yeah, it got here fast.
Yes.
That's crazy.
And I didn't, it was, I believe it was free shipping. There's a few things I'm waiting for right now that I still don't have, so I won't call those products out. They have nothing to do with coffee, but I could tell you what, they were very eager to get me this as fast as possible. And I'm happy because this is our first kind of hardware product review. And for those massive, massive Coffee Talkie fans out there, there is a video portion.
Oh.
You are going to get to see our first posted video.
Spielberg and Lucas up in here.
Believe it. Wait, who's who?
Well, look at your beard.
Who would it
be? Lucas.
I'd be Lucas.
Yeah.
Well,
you kind of got that square head, too. You got that dude. Square head with the squared off.
Man, I'll whoop George Lucas.
I mean, right fam. Do I look like Spielberg, though?
Yes. Yes, you do.
And I look like the two Hughes brothers, if they worked out.
Oh. Director, I know you're
right. Anyway. Definitely I'm not Spike Lee.
No.
Definitely not F. Gary Gray.
No.
Just call me like Morgan Freeman. Morgan Fishburne.
Ooh, yep.
Morgan Fishburne. I got to get that Morgan Freeman voice. Get down in my octaves.
You need to paint the things on. The skin tags.
Little freckles, little skin tag freckles, yeah.
Oh, it's a staple. That's how you know it's Morgan Freeman. That and you see his face and you just start hearing
his voice. And his voice, his narration is really good.
It's awesome.
I got to give it up to him. His narration is awesome. It's, I don't know. That guy is set on the voice, but he's been acting for so long. Like, remember The Electric Company? Did you watch that when you were a kid?
No. Let me tell you the first movie I ever saw Morgan Freeman in, and this is going to be bad because I can almost guarantee you hated the movie.
I can't wait
Robin Hood with Kevin Costner.
Amazing movie.
You liked it.
Like that movie.
Get out of here.
Oh, wait. No, I'm lying.
Yeah, you didn't like it.
I liked the, what was the other one?
Prince of Thieves.
Yes. That's no. Was that the goofy one?
Yeah, the goofy. You liked the goofy one with Dave Chappelle.
Yes. I did like that one. But let's go back beyond that. There was a movie called Time Bandits that had a segment with Robin Hood in it. But it's neither one of those guys are involved. I saw this in like the drive-in like in 1981. You weren't even born yet. So
I was born in 81.
Yeah, I know. You were like, you know.
Three.
Shit in your pants still.
I was.
Well, definitely, and it's like you still are.
No. But, I kept clean.
You know what? I want to talk about Robin Hood. I want to get back to this American Press.
So we got this American Press. We have an awesome segment. We're gonna play that segment for you here in a bit. And give it a listen. A lot of fun. Definitely go check out our channel on YouTube. Coffee Talkie. Do a search for Coffee Talkie on YouTube.
We'll post the link in the show notes as usual.
And show much love because we're going to keep diving into the video aspect of this.
Yeah, we're going to keep giving you guys more video content here. We think it's going to be a very important part of what we do here, especially as we move into some of these hardware reviews.
I think so. There's a lot of stuff to get.
Yeah, and I want to double down on when we visit some coffee shops. I know we do a lot of photography now.
Yeah.
With that, but I really would like to double down on getting some more video there just to kind of bring the experience a little more visually.
I don't like Gale stealing all the coffee thunder.
Well, you can't say that because, you know, I came across like a Gale video. And Gale, for reference, is Gale from Seattle Coffee Gear on YouTube.
Everybody knows.
She got videos from 8 years ago on there, fam. Eight.
I'm jealous because she's really good.
We're doing a Gale. We got to get a Gale episode, too. There's so many people that don't know they're going to be on this show. But they're going
to
be on the show.
She's about to learn.
I got a list.
Yep.
I got Gale.
We've already talked about her a couple times, too, which is kind of weird.
I can't stop. You can't. I don't think. I know I did post a link to Seattle Coffee Gear. Yeah. I'm going to post the link again because if you are halfway into coffee in terms of brewing it yourself or the manual process or fine-tuning with the grinds or considering getting an espresso machine, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, Seattle Coffee Gear is truly like the first resource I go to look at these different types of hardwares.
And I hit the wife with what I'm getting next for our coffee maker.
And the Breville.
And the burn grind, the right. Burr grinder.
The Gucci Mane.
Oh, man.
Five bills.
What?
She said five bills.
She goes, what?
You know how many purses she could buy? One, but still.
No. No. Can a purse make me coffee? Mm. No, it can't. I'm going to help you out.
What if you filled the purse with coffee?
She'd throw it away.
Because it makes the purse smell?
I don't even want to turn this into how much. I probably could have bought one of the boys a car with all this wasted funds. Now, I'm not talking about like a fancy car.
Mm-hmm.
But I probably could have got like a 97 Accord at this point with all these damn purses I've bought.
Listen,
over time.
I'm not in this conversation because I do not need Miss Wilson.
So when you listen to this, you ain't ever getting another purse again.
Coming after. Oh.
Ever. You know how they say never? Yeah, right. I'm saying never.
All right. On that note, let's roll into the the American Press segment here. After we go through this segment here, we're going to go come back and give you a little bit more information about it.
Please enjoy. Here it is. This episode 10, Coffee Talkie. We are exploring the Captain American Press. That's the name Greg gave it.
It's the American Press.
It's the American Press.
Made by Wayward Studios, LLC. I'm not familiar if they make anything else. But as we showed you, this is kind of a differentiated take on the French press.
You would know more about the French press than I would. This one here, it's built well. It's super cool to look at and use. I will say that if you've got a lot of free time, then this is for you.
Yeah, it definitely took some effort, as you probably noticed in the pre-roll there with the unboxing and the brewing that we did. It definitely took a little bit of effort to get things done. The time definitely ranks up there probably with doing a pour-over.
And I think the notes said something about a minute steep.
It said 30 seconds to 2 minutes for steep time.
Don't do 30 seconds.
And then a full 2 minutes on the actual press time, which can feel a little laborious, I think. Yeah. At 2 minutes, it seems – I know it sounds dumb thinking that, you know, pushing down on this for 2 minutes. But once you get to a minute, you're pretty much over it, especially if you've used a standard French press, which is a lot easier to push. But that being said, the reason I think we push slower is because this has like a double fine mesh at the top of this capsule. If you noticed on the unboxing, there is a capsule that holds all of your grounds. They don't just sit freely in the chamber. Most French presses have a not so fine mesh. So when you push down, if you don't have a super consistent, even grind, you're going to get particulate matter that makes your drink kind of silty at the end. And I think most people know that.
Do French presses come with another filter from the pour spout?
Okay. No. And so sometimes when I'd make a French press and it would be silty, I would pour it through like a V60 pour over paper filter to get that cleaned up. So back to what you were saying about the steep time. Not only the steep, I think it was the steep time, and it might have been also the way the coffee, the first time we were a little concerned about the coffee being too fine, not coarse enough. So it was super coarse, and we did a 30-second steep with the two-minute push. Well, it was a one-minute steep.
Yeah.
And it came out
like tea.
Came out weaker than we wanted it to. So this time we did a full 2 minute steep, and we made the grounds a little bit finer, not as coarse, and it's actually a pretty good cup now.
And I tell you what, I have not had a bad cup of Ethiopia. It's really good stuff. It's got a little bit of berry push on it.
Ethiopian Sidamo. I don't have the bag in front of me, but we got this from Samba Latte locally here in Las Vegas. They're Ethiopians. They're Yirgacheffes. They're Sidamos that come from there are always great. This mentions notes of fruity pebbles, which you definitely get in the nose in the bag.
You definitely got to smell the bag because you can smell
it. And then once this cools down, those notes really start to hit a lot nicer too.
The beans right out of the bag smell like blueberries.
Yeah. Back to the American press here.
This is meant for single use, I would say.
Yeah. Unless you and your friend or homeboy or girlfriend or partner or whatever is into having just 1 4-ounce cup of coffee.
One espresso size
cup of coffee. One 6-ounce cup of coffee, in the morning. This I would definitely recommend this for personal use.
Yeah.
That being said, I'm going to be honest with you. I don't know if the amount of work that goes into using this outweighs doing a manual pour over. We have to discuss, actually, it would be nice to show everybody how to get the coffee grounds out of the pod, though.
Yeah, I think that's one of the things we need to go over too is just getting the – so we talked about if there's a tamp process, if you look at the top of the lid, it almost looks like the lid fits the pod perfectly so that you can turn it over and then tamp the grounds in. But then you were saying that might –
Yeah, that would make it very difficult to push and probably, possibly end up in some breakage because you see this is – it's plastic with steel. Yeah. So – what's the weak point that would give out on a high pressure if you're tamping those grounds down in there? So,
but overall, I mean, it's cool. Definitely the plastic is high grade. I mean, I know we looked it up. We talked about it
BPA
on episode
free?
9.
Yeah.
And it's thick. I mean, when we first did it, you couldn't really feel the heat. But now that when the hot water sits in there longer, you can definitely feel heat on the plastic. And it's got cool little identifiers on here, max fill. It tells you the fluid ounces, and he's got we need to read the instructions because the dots. It's got 4 dots on the front, so we initially thought that was the push time. So you push to 1 dot weight, push to another dot weight.
Yeah, I'm not too sure what the what these dots are, demarking here on the container at all. It's 12 ounces, so it's not even like each dot really is representative of 2 ounces because that goes 2, 4, 6, 8. Does it go 2, 4, 6, 8, 10, 12? 2, 4, 6, 8. No, it would be 10. So I'm not too sure about that. But I'll be honest with you though. Even though I'm not a big French press fan, I think it's better than a French press, and I think that's because of the fine mesh.
Yeah,
it's a lot less. We had a little bit of particulate come through, but nowhere near as much as you usually get in a French press. And with this, you also if you have a French press at home and you use a French press regularly, sometimes you might let it sit off to the side for a bit so all that sediment can settle down to the bottom part of the carafe. Well, we did not wait for that in this. The double fine, double mesh filter on the top really helps out a lot, and there's a mesh filter at the bottom. So it goes through 2 filtration points here when pushing this pod, this capsule down through the container, through the vessel here. And so in essence, the water from the bottom goes up through the grounds, and then you arrive with the water above the grounds, which then sit confined in this chamber here.
The pod itself, so you look at the unboxing, we'll leave a little bit of the piece in where I struggled not to get the pod off, but to actually get the bottom of the pod back on, just kind of playing with kind of how it feels. I had to hold the topper with my dominant hand to get it in because I felt like I was going to break it to put it in. And maybe it's just me first getting it out of the box, but it is a tight fit.
Yeah, I think it's something you should just familiarize yourself with, the tension involved there when opening the pod, the capsule there.
It's almost like a pill bottle, push up. You got to push up just a little bit and then turn.
I think I just get a little nervous about it because it's plastic.
Yeah.
Right? So,
But it's heavy.
It is heavy duty, definitely.
All right, good. And I'm
yeah. Overall, I think it's better than a French press? Absolutely.
It does. I'm looking at this coffee, and you'll see on the video how light our first attempt was.
Yeah, this is our second attempt right here. Definitely a much better cup. Yeah. It's delicious. I'm not going to lie about that. It made a great cup of coffee. I'm going to be honest. I think there's a learning curve to be had with this. But once you understand how it works and you get it down, it's not so bad.
You're going to want to do a couple of these.
Yeah, you're going to do it. It's going to be test run. Every coffee, of course, is going to end up tasting different in there, you know, depending on your roast level. This calls for 20 to 24 grams of coffee into the capsule,
that's a good point.
We found that really 20 is about where that caps off at. We ended up with a little bit of extra on the side after we ground the beans. So I think 20 is probably good for that capsule area there.
How did they fit 24 in there?
Maybe it depends on the grind, but at that point it would have to be super fine. It had to be powder.
Even finer. I mean, what
maybe there's a density. Maybe there's a density weight difference between certain types of beans, possibly.
I don't see you getting 24. What is it, grams?
Yeah, I don't see 24 going in there.
24 in there because there was a lot left over.
Weasley had 5 grams left over.
I would almost recommend too. It doesn't come with any type of. So once you do the grind, it doesn't come with a piece to take the grind and put it in the pod. So what Greg did is folded a piece of paper, poured the grind onto the paper, and then did kind of a funnel into the pod.
Yeah, so that's kind of the next step of difficulty, I guess, if I could say. With a regular French press, it's easy to take your grounds from your grinder container and just dump it into the French press. It seems it's a little bit wider mouth.
Okay.
And you're going.
The one I showed you the other day.
Yeah.
Was a fatter. Yeah. It was almost double the size.
Well, and so there's larger French presses, right, where you can make coffee for two. So this is, again, back to an individual serving. And plus, with this being so narrow, the capsule itself is about 80% of that width. So I just created a little funnel with some paper in order to kind of usher the beans into the capsule area, the container, that pod or whatever it's called. That was a little bit of an extra step that I don't know. When you're used to taking coffee from your grinder and then just dumping into your filter or into your machine basket or into your French press, that extra step of funneling it in is kind of
a pain. Especially when, obviously, we were setting up for this podcast, and I'm sure everybody knows that this is our first attempt at video.
No, it's not. Don't say that.
Oh, that's true. Yeah, it is. All right, second attempt.
Experts. These lights got me sweating up in here, though. I go lie.
it was good. So kind of figuring out how it works. But I definitely, when you set this up, a burr grinder would definitely help because you said it would get the grounds finer.
And it would consider more consistent. Yeah. So, you know, you get less inconsistency there.
And then I think you said 30, 1 minute to 2 minutes. Did we let it go for a full 2 minutes?
We did 2 minutes steep on the second
and
time.
And then a 2 minute push down. So it was a total of four.
Total of four.
And it turned out to be a good taste, a good cup. I think it brought all the flavors out of it. I don't know if we're going to run this through. Are we going to do another pot of just regular? Compare it when we do the rest of the podcast.
I don't even know if that's worth it at this point. So if I were to give it I'll be honest with you. I'll be honest with you three times. So guys, you know I don't lie. I think I would give the end product, the coffee, the flavor that we're getting.
Yeah,
I'd give it an A. Yeah. It can make anything from, depending on your steep time and press time, from a very light, almost tea-like brew. And I'm pretty sure you could probably put loose leaf tea in here just the same and make a hot tea.
In the
pod. To a nice, dark, you know, full mouth bodied cup of coffee here. So I think the end product itself is an A. Ease of use?
Man, learning curve.
I'm going to give it, maybe not ease of use isn't the word I'm looking for. Maybe what I'm looking for is practicality.
Yeah.
if you've got 10 minutes.
Yeah.
No, which I tend to lend that to my pour over time in the morning, from turning the kettle on to then prepping the filter, grinding the beans, yeah, and then the pour over itself. The pour over itself takes a minute and a half, 2 minutes. But I think the what kind of brings the grade down for me on ease of use and your time frame is the all the movable parts.
Yeah.
We're unscrewing, screwing, capping, plunging. Where would you rank this in terms of ease of use? Is there a scale that we can put this on?
I think it's a novelty, but I mean, people who live and die by French presses would probably love. They do French presses every day.
There's an extra step with that pod with the area pod there. So yeah, I think that's what people like about French presses, right? Dump your beans in,
yep,
pour the water in, and I'll be back in 3 to 5 minutes.
Right.
You know, depending on how fine your grinds are.
I really think, in looking back on this now, I think this is more geared, because tea drinkers have that little screen thing that, where you pinch it and it opens the pot up.
I don't even know.
This almost lends to more of a tea drinker because of the way the pod is filtered. You could put your loose leaf tea in the pod,
right,
and then push that through, and that would be more of a tea experience, because tea drinkers have to put their loose leaf in some kind of contraption and then put that in the water to steep. So this might be more geared toward. I know it says it's coffee, but again, the process. It's going to take longer than your drip systems for sure.
Yeah, definitely.
A little bit longer. And then we're not even taking into account the cleanup process, which isn't horrible. It's literally dumping out, running it through water.
Yeah.
And there's only three pieces to it. So it's not like you're unscrewing pieces and things like that.
But yeah, you're not breaking down an engine or anything, obviously. I'm just, playing devil's advocate, being a little nitpicky about it. Yeah. I think I get a little wrapped up in solid pieces of hardware.
Yep.
One unit, again, if I'm going back to, and this is apples to oranges comparison. If I'm going to a Hario V60 dripper, or like my manual pour over was, it's really just a matter of dumping a filter and then coffee in. So this, I think the manual process of this,
yeah,
maybe while it's a little off-putting in the beginning, I think once you fine tune this with proper amount of coffee and different types of coffees and your time, I think if you're a French press lover, this could take over.
We are in America, so this is American press as opposed to French. So if that's part of your daily routine, I don't even know. We need to look that up. I don't even know if Wayward Studios, like if this is all American made.
No, it's not.
Oh, wow.
Designed in Chicago and responsibly made in China.
All right. Well, you know what? Forget all that, what I just said.
Well, the American way is import-export. That's the American way.
All right. Well, it's built well. It's just going to take some time.
All right. Well, if you're a French press drinker, we highly recommend the American press, I think. At least I do. If you're not a French press drinker, I wouldn't worry about it.
Okay. That's it.
Stick to what you like. Overall, the coffee from the American press was great.
The coffee's great.
Again, labor intensive, but here we are. We have a good cup of coffee. I think it's always nice to have a different piece of hardware at your disposal. And I like the manual aspect of being able to just, again, kind of fine tune what you do. That is the one thing I like about manual 100%. Operations. I'm just going to read a couple of points from the side of their box here, just to give a little bit of an overview for anybody who cannot be bothered to look it up. Off the top, if you do want to look it up, the URL is itsamericanpress.com, itsamericanpress.com. The side of the box reads, "Meet the American press. We combine the best of a French press with the espresso-inspired technology to create a genuine new way to brew. The American press utilizes pressurized extraction and a unique reusable pod to rapidly brew as you press while keeping grounds contained, so it's easy to clean and eco-friendly too." I'm assuming the eco-friendly part is like that there's not a disposable.
Is it the BPA-free plastic and all that?
Well, yeah, and it's not a Keurig pod that you throw away.
It's reusable.
It's a pod that stays in there. It's the press without the mess, trademark. Eco-friendly reusable pod keeps mess contained. Hands-on control of brew time for a truly handcrafted experience. That's what I was just talking about in terms of experimenting and kind of perfecting your manual process. Pressurized extraction. I agree to that, to an aspect. I mean, it definitely is pressurized. You can tell when you push down on it, and that is what's going to help pull some of that extraction flavor out of, you know, extract more flavor out of that. Ultra fine 100 micron steel filtration, and that is definitely key in this. That's what's really given us that cleaner cup than a standard French press would.
Yeah, you would definitely know more. I've never made a French press for myself.
Drip-free pouring. I didn't see a drip anywhere, so I guess that's 100% true.
It pours perfectly.
Again, BPA-free, top rack dishwasher safe only. Do not microwave. So that's it. That's our review of the American press. And just, I know I've probably said it three times now, but if you like French press, I would definitely suggest trying this out.
Yeah, give it a whirl.
That was me throwing the box. Let me do it again. That's much better.
Bingo.
It's kind of like, you know, I'm like Tupac. So throwing the mic down when I leave the booth.
One of the things I definitely wanted to talk about this week that we probably, I don't know if we got into last week.
Probably not.
After we recorded last week, mm-hmm. we went and saw Avengers Infinity War. I do want to note that we got free tickets because I've been saving lives, donating all this blood.
Oh, that's right. This guy's donating blood.
I have amazing blood. It's in high demand. So I guess United Blood Services, you accumulate points for all the blood you donate.
Uh-huh.
And the lady on the phone was saying, hey, when are you going to come back in? We want some more of that blood. And I said, you know, I'll roll in there. I know exactly where it's at. I'll take care of it. I do about every 6 months. And she goes, well, have you used any of your reward points? And I said, I don't even know what you're talking about. She says, well, we have a website where they call them hero rewards because, you know, saving lives. And I said, how do I get? She said, one of them is movie tickets. I'm like, oh, because I hadn't seen, and three already seen Avengers, so I wanted to go see it.
My son went without me too. He dissed me.
Yeah. So, and Nolan, he wasn't about to see it again.
Yeah, he said he really didn't like it very much.
And exactly for the reason I told you after, once he saw all, especially
spoiler alert for anybody who is lamer than us,
yeah,
and hasn't seen it in the after month that it's been out.
Yeah.
Right.
But once all the, you know, main characters, and he was a big fan of the Black Panther. He loved that movie. Once they started disappearing at the end, he came out of that movie. He was visually distraught.
Wow.
He's like, I didn't like that movie at all. He's like, I didn't like it. I don't know what
kids be taking it on the chin, bro.
It's weird. He did not like who got disappeared.
Who disappeared
at the end, or who disappeared at the end. And, you know, and there's a few, I thought the movie was good.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's made a zillion dollars already. So I think it beat every box office record everywhere that ever could be. Did it beat Black Panther for week one or?
It beat like everybody.
Yeah.
Okay. It set like the record. It was the movie.
It's the best thing.
I have some minor complaints about it.
I would love to hear.
Well, I'm here. I figured we kind of jump into your bullet points first.
Oh. My first question was why
are you going to say what you wrote?
I don't know. Why did the Hulk go full wuss on this? It's
the softest pee I've ever heard in a
word. He comes out of the gate whooping ass.
Yeah.
And then gets a beat down.
Yeah, maybe that's it.
And then like maybe he found the one person that is stronger than he is.
What'd Mike Tyson say years ago?
I'm hungry. Get that ear.
I'll eat your children.
Oh, yeah.
Fight you in your own backyard. He said, everybody's got a plan until they get punched in the mouth.
Oh, yeah. Oh, 100%.
And I'm not saying that he coined that term, but he's the first person I heard say that.
Yeah, he's the first person.
And I think that's what Hulk ran into, right?
He did.
His plan was just rage out.
But, and this is what I understand, because if you watch the first few movies of Avengers, or at least for Hulk, Hulk talked for the first time, I believe, in Thor Ragnarok. That's the first time I heard Hulk talk.
Because you had Banner's consciousness, because he had been Hulk for so long, right? Yep. Didn't it get to a point where Banner's consciousness was finally able to rise to the surface, giving him both intelligence and
right
strength?
So now all of a sudden he can talk, and now he won't Hulk out, which Look, he's going to find the happy medium. There's no way Hulk is done showing his face.
Well, that's the thing, right? So they give you the tension of him not being able to turn full Hulk again in this movie so that, you know, the next one we get to see him just straight rage. But what, how about Thanos, though?
What about him? What
did you think about Thanos?
I thought it was good. I like that. Is it Thanos or I kept saying Thanos. Is it Thanos?
Well, I mean, okay. That's what people from people from like the Pacific Northwest tend to say Thanos.
Okay.
But the rest of the world says Thanos.
Okay, so Thanos. I love that he wasn't.
I like that you just went along with that.
I love that he wasn't too jokey. They didn't make him comedy relief. He was like super. He's chill, but like confidence of like the dopest dude ever. Like he really isn't scared of anything.
He's like the ultimate CEO.
Yeah.
He's like, hey, this is my plan. This is where I want to be, and nobody's going to get in my way.
I would imagine he's probably, I mean, I don't know Bezos on a personal level.
It rhymes.
When you got that many
Jeff
wins.
Jeff Bezos,
whatever you call him.
Right.
He's got so many wins under his belt. Like, he probably like, yo, I'm going to.
He's got like the e-commerce stone, the brick and mortar grocery store stone.
The AWS stone.
Two-night delivery stone. Yep. Yeah, the prime AWS stone. The prime stone.
Ooh, the prime stone's probably the biggest one, too.
The Prime Stone. Yeah, Prime Stone goes right in the middle. That was the toughest one for him to, like, obtain and set right in the backhand of the gauntlet.
I read his book, and they talked about the creation of Amazon Prime. And it was just – it was everything he does. If you follow the book, he's got a crystal ball.
I can't read.
Anyway, Thanos is the dude. You could tell he's the dude. He knows he's the dude. And there's no one that's going to stop
him. I love it. Josh Brolin's performance, fantastic.
Voice performance.
I mean, but then there's obviously some physical performance there because they have to map the face for the, you know, CGI motion capture. Yeah. They get expressions and stuff like that.
I didn't know that.
So when you're performing and you're doing the vocals, they put the dots on your face a lot of time. I'm not saying they did necessarily for this. They might have, but they always record people when they're doing the voices because you act. Your expression, your eyes and everything perform just as much acting as your voice does. And it's like, it's kind of like when you hear somebody talking on a microphone or laughing, you can envision that they're smiling and there's going to be certain.
And it makes you smile.
Right.
I got you.
And so it's the same type of thing. You know, you can almost hear when somebody's smiling when they're talking versus not. And again, with the eyes and the maybe the brow furrowing and things like that, those are all types of expressions you want to capture to go along with the voice. But I was just kind of getting to Josh Brolin. If you go way back, the Goonies, the oldest brother.
You're right.
And his dad, James Brolin, like, it's crazy that it almost sounded like James Brolin was doing the voiceover, like Josh, because we're at, you know, Josh is in his late 40s now, I think.
Yeah.
So it's almost like imagining hearing James Brolin when I was a teenager, like Josh has evolved into that. I think the voice, you'll just look up James Brolin and you'll really hear it. I mean, I think he's even starting to look a lot like his dad, just kind of beefier still. He's still a bigger guy.
Well, he had to get juiced up over the last
Well, he was a big guy anyways, but I mean, yeah, we're doing the cable and all these things coming up. So that kind of leads into our next thing about talking about comic book stuff. We were discussing like, well, what's with Marvel letting people do multiple characters within the universe?
That doesn't make any sense. And not only that, but they put two guys who have played two different characters in the same movie, which is Deadpool.
Yeah.
So Josh played Thanos.
Uh-huh.
Thanos, whatever you want to call him. And now Cable.
Yes.
And then Ryan Reynolds played Green Lantern.
Yeah. And well, that was DC.
See, that's even.
And I'm going to be honest. Like,
that's a. I didn't know that.
I collected comic books as a kid.
I did too, but just not that many.
Green Lantern was one of the goofiest comics ever out.
Was it?
It just was. And that movie came out and it didn't disappoint. I felt like I was looking at the same hokey comic again.
Oh, okay.
Right? Art, I thought was amazing. The story and then, I'm going to make a giant green elephant. Like, what? It's just. Anyways. And then what were you talking about? What's his name? Who was it that played Johnny Blaze and.
Captain America.
Captain America. Like, come on. And we all know what those Fantastic Four movies, we can stop making those, please.
They were bad. I enjoyed the first one with him in it, where they build up the character and everything.
Hated it.
It just, Dr. Doom was so terrible in that movie. And I looked
at. Do you care about somebody that's stretchy like plastic?
No. I don't know.
You don't.
My girlfriend did, probably.
It was terrible. I'm calling you out
everybody
every time.
Everybody says that. You know everybody
I'm
says that shit.
I'm calling. No, was, I didn't even cross my mind, George.
Oh, he crossed it. He crossed our feet. All right.
I'm getting back to this list. I'm going to read this next point because I was, as it happened in the movie, when Thanos, when Scarlet Witch destroys Vision's Mind Stone, and Thanos is coming for it just after he comes from the Battle of Naboo. I mean, Wakanda.
He called it Naboo. That's great.
We'll get back to that, by the way.
Is that Star Wars?
It was about as bad as the Battle of Naboo. And Thanos is coming out of his little portal to come get the stone, and Scarlet Witch destroys the Mind Stone. And I think I might even say it out loud. I was like, oh, he about to roll time back and get that stone.
You did. I heard it.
And he did, right? And you wrote a point here that I didn't think about, but why didn't Doctor Strange roll time back prevent a lot of shit from going down? But instead, like you made notes here, he said, you know what, Iron Man, I had to give him the stone at the one point because it was the only way.
Right. Because so, he did this weird little, what do you call that? He almost had epilepsy and went through.
He traveled through all the alternate dimensions, saw 47 million or 14.7 million different possible outcomes, and only one is the good one. So in his mind, he had to give him the stone just so they have that one chance.
Right.
I don't understand. I'm kind of lost there too.
But I mean, if they, you know what, it's in the minds and hands of the writers.
Right.
So, but they almost had the glove off. Like, I don't.
That was also a big flaw.
Being able to take his glove off with all those stones already.
No, the big flaw was, what's his name? Guardians of the Galaxy. What's his character's name? Star-Lord. Chris Pratt? Star-Lord. The big flaw was like, okay, hey, we're going to make Star-Lord get emotional and mess up the ability, the chance to end the story here.
Yeah.
Dumb.
Yeah.
Because if anything, he would help yank that glove off so that.
And then kill him.
I don't care. There's clarity there. You see this dude is unbeatable.
Yeah.
You know? So.
I liked it. The one thing I also wanted to touch on, too, is once he snaps his fingers, he, like you saw, it almost melt his damn hand.
I think that's because that's the power of all those stones working at once.
And I wonder how many times, how long that glove is going to take if he keeps using the stones.
It's built by those space dwarves that made Mjolnir and now that axe, you know what I mean, that Thor's got.
What else? I want to find out what other elements the dwarves have made.
I'm sure.
Because we know he made his
hammer.
You
can probably look up a Wikipedia on that. There that's going to have all that stuff.
I need to do that.
Worst character in the movie, Mega Dwarf.
You think so?
Peter Dinklage. That was one of the dumbest things I've ever seen. The wig looked terrible. Him kicking around everybody on. I was like, This is one of the goofiest things I've ever seen.
Here's my question is they got the whole star working again. They got the axe out. They got
Dunk
your hands in the damn metal and melt that crap off your hands. He was right there.
Maybe his hands would burn off. Maybe he's not immune to that.
Ooh, what,
he didn't need oxygen to breathe.
Right.
Or did he? I don't know. Was there an atmosphere around that dwarf star factory?
Who else? Who was with?
Was that? Did they do that on purpose?
What's that?
With dwarves in space. On a rotating forge that contained a dwarf star.
Is that what it was called, his dwarf star?
Well, it was pretty small.
Yeah.
Right?
I don't know.
And Thor's clothes didn't melt, but I guess that's some Asgardian clothing.
Magic clothes.
And then when the characters disappeared, when Thanos snapped his fingers, their clothes disappeared with them?
They did.
And if when he snapped, it was as if they'd never existed, why did everybody remember them as they disappeared? And they discussed it afterwards.
I don't know. You got me.
And back to one other thing I said, why did Groot's branch that he gave up to capture the head of the axe for Thor, why did that stay with Thor on the axe? Groot disappeared, so why didn't his branch disappear if it was as if he never existed?
Because I think it was when he did that and then it snapped off his arm, it almost forged into the metal too.
So you're telling me there's a magical property attached to that axe head that kept
turned the branch into like the same metal structure.
Was it metal? That's right. It still looked wooden.
It something happened to it. You saw it kind of.
I think you're making it up right now.
Fossilized.
Making me mad.
It fossilized to the axe, and now it's Thor's axe, not Thor's hammer. So he's a lumberjack now.
True.
He's Thorjack.
The humor exchange between Thor and the Guardians was hands down, my favorite part of the movie.
When Pratt was making fun of Thor's voice, I was...
They could have made a movie with Thor and...
Yeah.
And the Guardians.
I agree with some of the other reviews. Like, you could probably remove everybody but Groot and the Fox. And then...
The Fox. You'd be fine.
The Rabbit.
Rocket Raccoon. The way they kept growing his character in this movie warmed my heart.
Yeah.
Guardians of the Galaxy 2, which I don't think holds a candle to the first one.
No.
What they did right in Guardians 2 was they gave character expansion to... Who is the guy that could call... He whistles and that dart comes out. He has the metal piece in his head.
Oh, I don't know his name.
Can't remember his name.
Zandu?
They did a...
Zandu?
Was that... I think it was something around along those lines. Him and... Putting him and Rocket Raccoon together in that movie and letting both their characters grow was the best thing about that movie. I mean, it was... They took... They take... And I don't even... Who's the guy that does Rocket Raccoon's voice? He bugs the crap out of me. He's in a ton of movies.
Yeah. I don't know. I can't think of his name.
Right. Anyways, I don't like... He doesn't bug the crap out of me. I just don't really care for any of his movies. He does an amazing part with that character. Rocket Raccoon as a character is amazing. And they just really did a good job expanding his character and then, you know, and then expanding it more in this Infinity War and humanizing him. That was it, Bradley Cooper.
Bradley Cooper.
And then humanizing him. I left the movie like happy with Rocket Raccoon's. Like if Rocket Raccoon had his own movie, him and Groot, oh my God, it would be unbelievable.
I have one more thing, well, two more things to take away from that movie so we don't make a whole podcast about that.
That's fine, because I have one thing to wrap up after year two.
Okay, first one. How has Tony Stark not, and I tweeted this today, how has Tony Stark not reached out to Black Panther's sister and been like, hey, you're brilliant. You need to help me with this suit game because your suit game is off the chain.
Mm-hmm.
Black Panther doesn't have mechanical jet propulsion systems in his suit, mm-hmm. yet he's impenetrable.
Right. Because it absorbs the energy
redoes it. So, and I see this happening because his sister's brilliant. She has that, like, Stark uses 1% of her brain power just like he does. She's a genius too. They got to make a connection because I can see her using beryllium, whatever that stone is that they have in Wakanda, and infusing a suit for Iron Man at some point. They have to.
Yeah, why not?
It seems like a natural progression because Iron Man in his current form can't beat Thanos. He's just not going to.
Well, no. He's Iron Man.
Right.
It's just you.
At the end, he's a dude that has like this super cool chemical metal thing in his chest, but you know he's limited to whatever materials he has to make his suit.
Thanos right now has lassoed in the magical properties of all known stretches of the universe,
except Thor's
or galaxy
axe can penetrate any of his powers and put axe right to his chest.
That part was dope.
Yeah,
but then you're talking about a god versus a magical being, right? So that's what happened there.
True.
You have these god imbued powers, and you know Thor takes it and uses the axe with it and all whatever. Yeah.
The second thing I wanted to say is Mark Ruffalo, who plays Hulk, a big enough star to carry his own Hulk movie? Because I liked the first Hulk with Eric Bana, I thought was trash.
Yeah.
Second Hulk with Ed Norton. Ed Norton must have got the nod to be in the Avengers movie, and he said, no, I don't want to do it. And Mark Ruffalo stepped in, and I thought played a really good, like, meek version of David Banner. And then, obviously, CGI and graphics and everything made Hulk awesome. So
here's what's interesting about what you just said, and you kind of opened up my memory banks. We remember the Hulk TV show, right?
Yeah.
Da-na-na-na, and he's always walking down, you know, hitchhiking. Ed Norton was a better Dr. Banner.
Yes.
Much more Bill Bixby-like. Mark Ruffalo, the interesting thing about him, his jawline and chunky, stout head translates better to that Hulk form. Because he's still, you know, they do a good job of keeping the likeness.
And he plays a good nerd.
Right. I think what you just said, though, also kind of brings us to his performance. I'm not saying his performance. I don't think his performance was so much lackluster as it was the writing of how they had him delivering his lines in this movie. It became questionable for me at points. I was kind of like, And they might be doing this on purpose to make you think, oh, is Hulk weak now? And is Dr. Banner a weak mind person too?
Right.
Or are they trying to give you a bigger dichotomy, a bigger gap between the beast that Hulk is and the reserved, quiet, scared person that Banner is?
Yeah.
You know?
I don't know. That was something that stood out to me because I think Hulk is my favorite.
Would a Hulk? Does anybody want a Hulk movie though?
I would because I'm a Hulk fan.
Because I think Hulk works best. Hulk's like a lot of rappers. He works best with a feature.
Oh, I gotcha.
Hulk and Thor. Think about the battles, right?
Ragnarok
Hulk
and was Thor. Good.
Yeah, and just before, even prior, Hulk and Iron Man had going at it, right? And then if you've ever read the comic books, you know,
Hulk and Wolverine.
Yeah, exactly. Hulk like always was. I mean, every comic book is somebody against the arch nemesis, but it was always kind of like those big features on Hulk's rap album is what we would.
I gotcha.
We wouldn't want to hear Hulk's solo album. You know what I mean? But his features.
Yeah, the Ed Norton one was good. So it was just weird that he must have turned. He'd be like, "Nah, I don't want to be in 9 of these movies." So take off.
To close out.
What was the one you had?
Just to close out, I mentioned it earlier that I haven't seen Black Panther yet.
Okay.
And I feel like what I'm going to say is unfair. And I know people loved it. That Wakanda scene in that movie.
The battle.
20 minutes of trash. Take it out. Nobody would miss that scene. There's nothing. There's zero takeaway from that scene.
I think it's filler.
It's 100% filler. Yeah. It was a way to, like we talked about before. It's like, okay, well, we see what Black Panther did in numbers. We got to make sure that we're inclusive with that too. And I get it.
Sure.
And it's the Avengers, and it's about the team and all these different people coming together. And I get it's about diversity and all that. I'm fine with that. What I'm not fine with was that it looked like the Battle of Naboo from Star Wars, episode 2 or 3? Mm-hmm. I don't remember. It was just goofy like that. There's this shield, and then there's tons of enemies that look like the dang clones.
I didn't know what the creatures were or where
they came from. They came from nowhere. There were multiples of them.
Those were supposed to be in Avengers. Was it Avengers 1?
Those are the first ones?
In New York?
The ones from, yeah.
With the blue guys.
Is that them? Came in,
I think that's a variation of those evil creatures that were flying around on the hoverboards and whatever. I think they're a variation.
Maybe.
But they like evolved into these like spider looking things.
Scene was terrible. It was a waste of time. There was no reason. Okay, great. Vision was there because I get it. They needed the tech to get the stone removed without killing him. But the rest of it,
yeah.
I couldn't deal with it, man. It didn't even fit. It was like putting a square peg in a round hole.
Yeah.
That movie, it just didn't integrate well with the movie at all.
You don't need to see the movie.
I don't want to. I actually watched a special effects featurette about Black Panther today, and it just looked terrible. I couldn't do it. But that's enough of me. That's enough of my black on black crime. I'm done hating right now on that.
Fuck you, Greg. Why you gotta?
What else do we have to talk about in this? You know, hold on a second.
What are we getting?
I want to get the coffee we featured today.
Oh yeah, read the notes.
All right. For reference, I wanted to just give a shout out. We grabbed a quick bag from Samba Latte. I don't think they really have a particular pet name for this coffee.
What is it called? Ethiopian?
It's just an Ethiopian Sadamo from, I don't even know how to pronounce that. Chire, Chire Village. But the notes on this.
I think it's called Chiros.
Fruity pebbles, orange, and floral. This bag, the nose, when you open this sucker up. And I hated Fruity Pebbles, by the way. I did not like that
cereal. Cocoa Pebbles was the shit.
100%. I'm right there with you. It smells like Fruity Pebbles, though. And as your cup cools down and hits that room temperature, the floral nose, or not hits room temperature, but, you know, as it cools down below the 200-degree mark, probably down into the 160 zone, the floral nose on that, the notes are just crazy. It's an awesome cup of coffee.
It's good.
And it's a pretty light cup. In terms of body, so I would advise brewing it with, you know, something similar. You know, not very many people are going to be that listen to this are probably running out to Samba Latte every day to grab a bag. But you know, if you do get a lighter cup like this, you know, something from Ethiopia that's going to be floral and have some citrus notes to it, I would advise you know, unless you like a tea like coffee, a lighter coffee, I would advise doubling down. You know, maybe going like 125%, 150% of the grounds that you're used to using in your brew to just give it a little more body, or to do something like a pour over that would drip slower, or like we did today, a French press, American press method, where you can get that longer steep time to make it a bit thicker.
Because this is more of a light roast.
It's a light roast, definitely, and just the notes itself.
Yeah.
Fruit, orange, citrus. This is
another one, kind of like, and I don't know where Gabby got their Ethiopian, but same kind of thing. I mean, there really isn't a huge difference, but the bag really smells like blueberries.
It's blueberries, and there's other berries in there too. I'm not sure. Yeah. It's a beautiful coffee though.
It smells great. It tastes great. I mean, I'm gonna grab some of this, take it home. But no, it's good stuff, and I'm glad we got this one to go through. We were talking earlier about some of the other spots they got around Vegas that we definitely need to jump into.
Yeah, the scene's starting to grow a bit here.
Yeah.
So you know, we'll definitely get out. You know, I do like getting online and ordering. I think one of the nicer things about just any local coffee shop or roaster that's doing this is once you become familiar and you're able to just stop in instead of paying shipping costs and things like that, you know, let the shipping cost occur when they bring the beans in and then they tack that back end onto the retail price.
And you're giving back to community and all that.
Absolutely. Awesome, good stuff. You know, if you can support a roaster in your neighborhood, that's just going to keep making, you know, ensuring that you're going to be able to keep getting good coffee.
I think so. I was shocked to hear. I didn't know that there was kind of a mom and pop type roaster, and I don't even call them a roaster because I don't know if that's true. Public Works off of Water Street.
Oh, you told me about that.
Yeah, you looked them up.
I
looked them today. They serve beer.
I don't remember
too,
if they were roasting or not when I did. I was only on the site briefly.
Yeah, I think it's just a coffee shop that serves coffee because they've got
and beer
and beer. But they do carry Mothership, which makes me think that they probably...
They're not roasting that.
They're not roasting. No. They're bringing coffee in and brewing it.
Yeah.
And
just, but I mean, having a coffee shop. You can't be mad at Mothership. No. You know what I mean? Like,
smart for them. They got... Yeah. I'd wholesale it out too.
Well, that's great for Mothership too.
Yeah.
Good. That's three locations that I know of for sure that they're serving.
Yeah. I wouldn't even be surprised if they're trying to get Mothership in Whole Foods.
It would be nice, but Vesta's locked that down locally.
You think that's the only one they're going
to
let in there?
I'm not saying it's the only one, but when you go to a Whole Foods...
Samba Latte's in there.
When you go to Whole Foods... Where is Samba? At Whole Foods?
When I got those three... No, you know what? I take it back. It was Vesta.
Stumptown.
Stumptown, and yeah, you're right. It's right. Not in there.
When you go to Whole Foods, I mean, I do keep an eye out for local products there just when I'm shopping for specific things and I pick it up and I see it's local. It's kind of like local honey, right? Local coffee now, just now, local coffee. Well... Colorado River Coffee Roasters. They've been in Whole Foods for a while.
Huh. But I haven't bought that one yet.
I'm going to be honest with you. I don't like it.
Oh.
So.
Mile High.
They're definitely more of a wholesaler here. They do wholesale to a lot of places here in Vegas, though. But, so shout outs to Samba Latte again. This is the second time we've featured their coffee here.
They got good stuff.
But they do. It's consistently, their Ethiopians are always good.
Yep.
You know, that I know for sure. But I don't think I've ever had a bad bag of coffee from Samba Latte. No. It's difficult now because the game is real for specialty roasters.
Yeah.
The game is real. You know, you got to have a consistent, good product.
Do you think they're – and this is probably a question if we ever get the dude on. I don't know. I know you've seen him at Samba Latte on Boca Park.
Which dude?
The main.
Oh, Luis?
Yeah. I knew you knew.
You know, I used to see him in the gym every now and then too.
Really?
I'd be like, Luis, what's up? He's like, hey.
Bring me some coffee.
I told you about how he knew my name that one time, right? Blew my mind. Yeah. This was years ago. This is years ago in Samba Latte. I go in there to go order, you know, whatever the heck it was I was ordering. Dong latte. Let me get two. Extra large. And I go up to the counter and I was like, hey, what's going on? He's like, hey, how you doing? I was like, you know, let me get this, this, and this. He's like, all right, cool. Is that all, Greg? And I go, yeah. I go, did you just say my name? And he goes, yeah. I go, how did you know? He goes, just from seeing you in here and, you know, being at the register when you get people's debit cards and stuff like that and you put their name on the receipts. He's like, it's my job.
Wow.
He's like, it's my job to remember people, you know? That impressed me so. I hadn't given him a debit card. As a matter of fact, I think I paid with cash that day and didn't tell my name or anything yet.
That's impressive.
And I was like, did you say my name? It caught me way off guard. It would be awesome to have Louise on the show.
That'd be cool.
I wonder, you know, I'm starting to wonder how many people really want to be on our show.
Oh, it's going to get there.
They're going to start asking us?
This is only episode 10. You wait. This hot. We keep
I'm 44. I can't wait too long, fam.
I'm telling you, by Christmas, Christmas this year.
Ooh, I like it.
We're going to be blowing up. Then we're going to be episode, what, 30?
Christmas. I'll be on Christmas vacation at Christmas, fam.
Yep.
I have to do like a Hawaiian Kona
episode. We're going to have Santa on this episode.
Oh, I like that.
Mm-hmm. All right. Santa, what coffee Santa are you drinking?
North Pole, your Geschefe.
You dare say pumpkin spice.
kick his I cannot wait for the pumpkin spice episode.
Oh God, I'm not looking forward to it.
Yeah, the problem is, man, we got to do that episode.
Yeah, that's right. The only thing, I mean, I know we got the video episode going this week, and I'm really pumped about that. I can't wait to put that up.
I hope we do a good job editing it.
Oh, it's gonna be
stellar. I mean, in terms of what we look like and jump, I'm getting a little nervous about it. The more I think about it,
I ain't even worried about it.
I got some ideas though too that we can incorporate. I know people
who are way better than me at editing, so
I know people who are way better than me at basically everything I do. So whatever.
Kinda.
Yeah.
The other thing I thought was pretty cool is we've been trying to keep with this Mean Mug Monday, and I don't think
we haven't
a very good job at it. But something I came across that I thought was awesome. If you could, head over to stirandstrain.com. They had a post about a tiki mug collection. And it's a cool collection of tiki style. I don't even want to call it Hawaii, just island-esque kind of mug.
I think tiki is kind of a crappy blanket term for Pacific Islander.
Yeah, I don't want to label them as that was, but anyway, it's the design like a tiki type island design. Well, and then of course, Gregor's got to one up me and post a link to one of the most impressive clay master? Would it be a clay master?
It's like pottery, ceramics.
Yeah. So this dude's making just next level clay.
If you check him out on Instagram, yeah, his name is Vantiki, V-A-N-T-I-K-I. Heinrich von Reisen looks like is his real name. And his bio says, I make a variety of curiosities inspired by Polynesian pop, adventure, exploration, and South Seas mystery. And I'll be honest with you, man. When I first found this dude's Instagram, I think it was near the end of last year, his artwork, it kind of reminds me of like, you know how like I guess like when you're in at Disney and you go in the little tiki area and they have like, I don't know if you've been in the one, they have like the automated birds that talk to you and stuff like that. It kind of reminds me of that type of stuff. As a matter of fact, I think he probably even has pictures of him there. But the guy does amazing handcrafted sculptures that he turns into limited edition runs and has just some of the most amazing tiki type collectibles and things that I wouldn't consider using as mugs. Matter of fact, I'm looking at one mug here. It's an upside down zombie head. And it's you drink out of the neck of it. It's insane. But anyways,
that's crazy.
This brings me back to when you know you talk about tiki mugs. Who drinks coffee out of a tiki mug? Would you?
Oh, I want one of these. I'm now that I found this dude's website, the mkt.com/vantiki.
Yeah.
Believe I'm gonna get one of these.
Problem is, not for you, not for big ballers like yourself. His limited runs, which I think are way worth it. These pieces are, you know, several hundred dollars a piece.
Well, this spooky, well, I don't really want this one. Spooky stone sippy cup. I don't want it because it's $35. That's not something. I want one of the dope coffee mugs.
I think that's already done. He's already got one. So everything is pretty limited in what he does. And that's, you know, honestly, that's what makes the pieces amazing.
Yeah.
You know, there's like 100 pieces done only, 50 pieces only, limited runs. Are there any like, I think it would be interesting to look up some tiki or some coffee specific tiki style mugs.
When I was growing up, always got pops, or a lot of times I either got them Old Spice or a coffee mug for Father's Day or a birthday or something like that. So he had quite a few mugs. He still has a lot of those mugs at his house now. And it's kind of cool. I mean, I know my family knows, or my boys and my wife knows that I love coffee mugs, and there's definitely a few I still want, but I would love to have, I mean, I'm looking at some of these now. I would love to have one of these. They just look so cool.
I think what happens, you know, when you drink coffee regularly, you drink beer regularly, you drink bourbon regularly, you drink just water on the regular, you tend to have that one or two vessels that are it for you. Exactly.
Yep.
I've got one of what's that brand again? Hydro Flask.
Hydro Flask.
I have one at home too. It's
yeah.
That's just metal, but it's the perfect you find that it's the perfect amount, the perfect shape. It keeps it at perfect temperature.
Well, and I just came up on this lid.
Yeah, I see that. That's yellow flip top.
It's a different style. It screws on tight.
That's nice.
I just saw this at a golf tournament I went to and had to swoop one up. I like it better than traditional because the traditional one that clicks down always leaked.
Well, I just have the screw top and just a big mouth.
Nah, it takes too long.
Yeah, I know. Of course.
I don't like it every time I want to take a drink.
But, you know, you tend to find your favorite drinking vessels. I have my favorite Wild Turkey bourbon glasses at home. I have a couple of favorite mugs at home for coffee. And that's just what it is. And I think, you know, if you go on, you check out some of this guy's work, it's unbelievable. So if you're into tiki or Polynesian culture or one-off pieces of art that can function as serving vessels or drinking mugs, etc.
Does that encompass like the all the islands? If you say Polynesian, is that?
Yes, Polynesia.
That's a term that's
right.
Accepted.
But then you have like French Polynesia, right? Which is where France had colonized and things like that.
I wonder if they got a French
American Samoa, you know, all the fun stuff.
But if you say like, I didn't even know that. I didn't know that you say Polynesian encompasses every single one.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure Polynesia, you know. I mean, I hate to look it up on air, but this will save me. People are either going to complain that they're tired of me looking up stuff while we're talking, or they're going to complain that they're tired of me saying the wrong definition.
There you go.
Polynesia, a region of the Central Pacific Ocean that lies east of Micronesia and Melanesia and contains the easternmost of the three large groups of Pacific Islands, including Hawaii, the Marquesas, Samoa, the Cook Islands, and French Polynesia. So I guess it is exclusive of... like New Zealand.
Gotcha.
Guam, maybe. Okay. Is Guam included there? So look, yeah. So it looks like Polynesia includes like Hawaii, Tonga, Samoa. Oh, New Zealand. And then like Melanesia, which is east or west of it, is New Guinea, the Solomon Islands. And then you have Micronesia, which is like the Marshall Islands and some other ones I have never heard of in my life.
I'm not even going to make any small jokes.
So here we go. Sure, Easter Island lies at the easternmost point of
that's
what's
where
Polynesia.
Things are where they're where
so that's where
the
you
heads
come up.
Are in the ground.
Right, exactly. So that might be like a big factor kind of in.
I saw, you know, they dug those up and there's a whole body of those things underneath the
ground. Yeah, isn't that crazy?
That's incredible.
That's just the head of those things. It would be truly amazing to see how they made that.
And then buried them. Did they bury them or
did
like
they
volcano,
dig holes and
did a volcano explode and cover them up?
Who knows?
Those could have been like...
who knows, George the geologist?
You know, I'm kind of a big deal. I mean, you know, a read. Just, hey, pick up a book. You know what I mean? Educate yourself.
Damn. All right. Yo, it's a Wednesday night and I'm tired, fam.
It is. It is. But you know
I think the video production, I think I stressed on that a little bit.
Did you?
Yeah, because it was the first time doing that.
I was comfortable with the technical aspect of it. It's just like the setting. Like, I'm not a director. I'm not a set producer or any of that.
Truth be told, you know, I said, hey, I'm going to try to come up with some ideas and script some things. I didn't do it.
I think that's what makes it great.
I dropped the ball.
We just kind of picked topics and
went
with it.
We did. But I'm excited we did that, you know, getting our feet wet in some video work here. It was interesting, I think, doing a hardware review versus just a coffee review. And also versus, you know, not the last episode, but the three previous, you know, with guests, there's an ebb and flow here. You know, there's a lot. It's interesting how the content flows here. But
well, I think eventually the coffee talkie in general is going to always stay a podcast, but it's then it could morph into kind of like what some of the other ones we've seen where now there's
a keep it under wraps. You know what I'm saying? Like Mummies on Halloween, fam.
Yes. Like those.
Like those. All right. Well, episode 10. Let's do it again.
You're rhyming at the end of it?
I don't even know.
You had that one written
down. Bro, I think I'm tired. I'm just really tired. I don't know why. I got some good sleep last night. I had that one written down.
I knew it.
Oh, let me go back to my notebook.
You writing rhymes?
I'm like, now you're going
to
get me.
I thought you were supposed to freestyle.
Episode 11. I'm going to put at least 7 different ones down on paper.
We're going to hear it like 900 times.
Episode 11. No, I'm not even going to let it out the bag yet.
Good. Don't.
When episode 100 comes, I want to get the intro of every one and just put a supercut together.
Just go blah, 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 blah.
Yep.
Just rhyming.
Yep.
Put an album out. Ooh, Coffee Talkie album.
It's already done. I got a mixtape. I got like 100 songs in here. I just got to put them together.
It's in a notebook.
Check out my SoundCloud.
Notebook in your backpack.
check out my SoundCloud.
I love it.
All right, folks. Thanks for joining us for another episode.
Yep.
Holla at you soon.
See you next week. Later.
We'd like to take a few seconds to thank you, the Coffee Talkie podcast listeners. We just want to let you know that we appreciate all of the support, downloads, comments, and feedback you've given us so far. Also, be sure to check us out on social media, at Coffee Talkie on Twitter and Instagram, and The Coffee Talkie on Facebook. And of course, you can find us on the interwebs at coffeetalkie.com. Hit us in the DMs.